In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I bet you're hoping my mic wasn't going to work either. Well, good news, I'm talking about the letter from Paul to the church in Corinth, so I suggest read that gospel later if you're like me and missed it, because I don't hear good, and sometimes I don't even listen. But reality is, this morning I was listening to what Paul was saying to the church, and I've been listening to it all week, and I heard this to start with: "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit." Amen? I mean, that in itself should be enough. We should be able to grab a hold of that and just run with it. But sometimes it gets more complicated. And when we hear more within this scripture as it goes forward, it's a struggle. He gets a little specific. I'll let you catch up on that. But the reality is this: we struggle to be one body. You know how I know? I passed 6 different versions of this one body just on my way here this morning. We continually try to find ways to be separate when God is telling us to be one. At our Friday morning study, 6:30 a.m., Panera, gentlemen, if you want to join that, a little shameless plug, we had a conversation about this very thing, the concept of what the church looks like, reaching back to the first century when we had the church. And I thought, I couldn't remember how many there were, and I'm sure it had changed, so of course I Googled it when I got home and found out that there were 200 plus versions of Christianity in the United States. Documented, I'm sure there's more. And 45,000 worldwide, according to Google. So take that as you will. Because, of course, it's on the internet, so it must be true. Amen? And I thought to myself, why am I not even surprised? Well, because this is the way in which the world often has been, and this is the way Christianity has been for quite some time. We continually struggle to stay together. In the last manifestation of division within our denomination, we had a visit from a bishop at one of our diocesan meetings, and he was sharing with it the misunderstanding of the separation and the way in which it was happening. He said, well, for me and for us, when we look at, he was from Malawi, actually, and he said, our struggle is we look at what's happening with you all, and it seems as though you just took up your stuff and you moved to the other end of the table, but you're still sitting at the same table acting like no one else is at the table with you. I went, that kind of makes sense. We have a lot of denominational diversity within my own family. But we have one God, and it's the same. We all love Jesus. We do some small group worship on Sunday morning, but we all love Jesus. We're all part of one body. But we, brothers and sisters, those who are part of this one body, live in a world who strives for division. Everywhere we turn, everything is about creating division. Most of what we see in the news is just another version of division. You want to have a fun experience? Flip between the news channels in the midst of a major news event, especially around politics. Boy, you would think you were living in two completely separate worlds with two completely separate understandings of the very same thing that's happening. We struggle in this. And here we are, called to be one body. And everywhere we turn, someone's trying to say, hey, you should join us over here because we're right and they're wrong. We had this great experience, and I've recently shared this with some of you. We went to a conference some years ago over in Central Florida, a group of us from here, and it was an ecumenical conference. So they had every church announced and their denomination, and it was varied. And the person running this program did the greatest thing. He said, I'm so glad we have so many people who worship Jesus. And he said, so we all do that a little differently. So what we're going to do before we start the day is turn to the person next to you and tell them, I am more right than you are. And then we can just be done with it. And then we can get down to the business of how we are going to work together to learn how to share this love of Christ with a younger generation than most of the ones who were sitting there. And it was funny, and it was true. And there we spent the day together. Didn't have a single argument about how you should baptize someone. Meaning full immersion or water, in case you're unaware of the struggle. But we still live in a world that proclaims division. And we struggle to decide, what side am I on? And reality is, I bet you never really feel like you're on the right side. Because when you join in the side of division, you are divided. And it makes no sense to our soul. And we struggle in it. So I just want to give you some help today. You don't have to struggle. Paul says this, verse 18 of chapter 12. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. As he chose. So how we work together in the body becomes actually easier if we claim this reality that God chose us and we have entered in by his grace to his body. See, we for too long in the church have consistently talked about our choice, and I say it myself, and I should be more clear. Your choice is to get in alignment with the will of God which you are aware of, because he chose you first. He chose you first. And if we're going to walk together as one body, we need to be able to look at one another and say, he chose me to be in this body. He chose me to be in the midst of this portion of the body here in Valrico. And as a result, every other person that is here because he chose them to be here. Now, I can choose to get in alignment with his will, or I can choose to create division. Amen? That's really the option. He chose. You know how much easier it is to get along with one another when we realize that the one who chose us also chose the person who's irritating us right now? You know what that should do for us? Rather than go get more people to say, doesn't this person irritate you? And you're going, yeah, they irritate me too. Let's start another group. Try this. Lord, why is this person irritating me? Because it's probably more about you than them. If somebody's an irritating person, what's that to you? If it's a problem for you, well, then deal with you. That's what it comes to. Now, as I stand here, knowing where we've been almost 7 years together now, I suspect maybe some, maybe more than others, at some point have had their toes stepped on by me. Amen? Amen. You can acknowledge that if you want. I'm okay. Because, there you go, you're welcome. Somebody there, usually somebody from leadership, thank you. But the reality is this, it happens. We step on each other's toes. But he chose us to be in this body. And I'm desperately trying not to undo anything that God's doing. Will I fail? Yes, I will. You can check with the back row later. They can tell you how. But I know very well, as I look at your faces, that over the last 7 years, we haven't all gotten along every moment. I could look a little further for somebody that who's out with the children, who I've been hanging around with for well over 3 decades. And so far this week, which starts on Sunday for me, we have been in complete agreement. Until it gets to lunch, then we're probably going to have a problem. But the reality is, why can't we just be okay with that? Can we just be okay with the fact that I'm more right than you are? It's okay. It's part of how we survive. But in the body, we have to be willing to recognize whose we are. See, God chose us. And by His grace, gave us the opportunity to choose Him. And we forget so easily because we live in a world that is desperately trying to tear it down. And we cannot give in to it. We cannot give in to it. Now, as Paul would say, and I should have looked it up between services, but I believe he was quoting Jeremiah. You can correct me later. When he says that he boasts in the Lord. See, when he's boasting in the Lord, what he's trying to say to the church is that he is boasting what he sees God doing in them. So I want to boast in the Lord for a moment. See, I know many of you, some of you I know very, very well. And here's one thing I know for sure. In case you were unaware across this room, y'all don't agree on a lot of things. But here we are, because that matters more. Being here together matters more than our opinions on whatever the things of the day may be. We may even struggle a little bit if we get into a heavy theological discussion. But being together matters more, because God chose you, and He chose me, and He puts us into the body where He wants us to be. And the beauty of it is holy innocence is learning something by staying together, even in our differences, most especially in our differences, and most especially in our struggles. There's something happening here that all of you may not even be aware of. There are things that happen here on a regular basis that I've been in communities where it was enough to split the community. But it doesn't here, because we hold on to what matters most, and what we've discovered is what matters most is God and God's will, not ours. I had somebody share with me that is involved with another ministry out of Tampa that produces meals. And he said to me, he goes, Brian, why don't you let this ministry provide the meals and you all can just distribute them? I said, brother, I wouldn't dare. You would not even believe how much my people have grown by being stuffed in a kitchen that's 110 degrees trying to figure out how much salt goes into meatloaf and disagreeing on it. It's wrong. Y'all are doing it wrong. And everybody's, oh, I'm doing it right. You can't tell me how to do it. And you know what nobody's done so far? Or at least not recently. I'm not going to say it's never happened. You know what they didn't do? They didn't throw it away and say, then forget about it. I'm not making meatloaf today. You know why they didn't? Because somebody needed to eat that day. And that person eating was more important than whether or not their feelings were hurt. See, this is what we're learning, and that's how we're learning it. We're learning it by being together in the midst of doing God's work and His will, and feeling the pain of being together in the midst of doing God's work and His will. Amen? Has anybody here had a little struggle, at least one, in the midst of doing ministry with the people sitting in this room right now? It happens, amen? If you haven't had that moment, y'all need to get engaged. Because it's just going to happen. It happens in every other place you walk. It happens in every single thing you do. It happens within your own family. I've had a little family around for the last few days. 16 of us in our house, as a matter of fact. It's gone pretty good. But I think that's mostly because they're being exceptionally careful with me. But you know what? We don't pull apart. We pull together. And when we get to know one another, we begin to understand, just as my family's been looking at me going, well, Dad might be a little sensitive, let's give him a little space. We can know each other and we can build our relationships to the point where we can look at the other person who just maybe said something abruptly to us, or maybe they just were belligerent in a moment, and we can say, what's going on there? And we might recognize, man, that person's just been through it. I know they're having a hard time. I know they haven't been well. I know they have family members haven't been well. I know they're take their suffering losses, as we all do, in the midst of it. I see you. And we remember the most important thing. We are the body of Christ. And I see you doing it. So I want to boast in the Lord and what he's doing through you. I know, because I'm receiving it. I mean, I know me. I like to tell people I'm an acquired taste. It's true. But I receive from you. And that comes from what Paul has to say. And I want you all to hear this. In all of our messiness and the rest of it, and our clinging to one another, even on those days when we're not dancing well and stepping all over each other's feet, I want you to hear this. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. It's the imperfection in the mess that makes it real. And we know that's true. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. And then he asks, are all prophets, or are all apostles, are all teachers, or do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No. But of all the gifts that are needed in us to move as his body, all the gifts are present. Not one person has all gifts, otherwise we wouldn't need a body of Christ. We would just need one. And if you think you are the one, I suggest you quit trying to be all pieces of the body. Because when you're picking something up because somebody else isn't doing it, you just gave somebody the opportunity to not be their part. See, we reach out and we get a hold of each other and we draw each other into this body. And if we're hesitant to do that because somebody is a little messier than we'd like, members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think are less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. See, there's to be no dissension among us. No division. Doesn't mean we're going to get it right every day. But if at the end of the day, what we get right is we are still one, then we are honoring God. And this is how we do it. And this is how it happens here. In this last portion of our reading today, verse 31 says, but strive for the greater gifts. and I will show you a still more excellent way. And then Paul will go on from there to talk about the gift of love. Brothers and sisters, we have been shown a more excellent way, because it is only in God's love for us and our love for one another that we could even begin to tolerate each other in the Florida heat, in the kitchen, in the vestry meeting, in worship, in choir, in Bible study, in all the places where we walk. We must continue to walk in the more excellent way that has been revealed to us. Not because we were told. You all are doing it because you know whose you are. And you know that He chose you. And you know that when someone steps on your toes, you have to step back and go, and God chose them too. And as He loves them, I will learn to love the more excellent way. To God be the glory.